All right, so Brother Zelos brought an awesome teaching on the armor of God. Well done, brother. Thank you for putting your time and effort into that. It's a very, very important topic. Brothers, were you edified by that?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I have something I want to share. I think brother did an awesome job on Ephesians 6, talking about the armor and what Paul described there. I wanted to bring up one point. And if he read this, I apologize, but I'm not sure if he did. Ephesians 6:18. I'm not sure you read this far, brother. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Did you read that, brother?
No.
Okay. The only reason I read that is right after Brother Paul lists all these armors, the quality of the armor or aspects of the armor, and then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It kind of makes me think, we got all those armor things that you just listed, and then how we kind of walk in them, activate them, keep them powerful in us, keep them sharp, is through this praying. And Paul talks about in other places, praying unceasingly. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Does that make any sense to you, brothers?
Yeah, it does, actually. It's a good point. That'd be kind of our fuse to keep fighting.
Yeah, exactly. Brother Kuo, what say you about this? About this teaching? Any thoughts on the armor of God?
Yeah, I think it's one of these topics. People don't think about it from, like, a practical application of it, because you're exactly right. You have to put on the armor.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a daily putting on of the armor, too. It's kind of like you're a soldier for the day, you can take it off to sleep.
Right.
And then you wake up, you put it back on, but you have to put it on with, like you said, Brother Tupos, like prayer, supplication,
yeah,
always watching out for things. And it is like a soldier's job. The Lord calls us to be a soldier, so.
I have a question. Do you think a lot of people have the mindset, churchianity I'm talking about, yeah, that, oh, God does all that armor stuff and he does all the fighting and I don't really have much to do. Isn't that what we hear all the time?
Yeah. I mean, that would be kind of like you join the army and you believe you have your weapons. You believe, oh, yeah, the army's going to do all that shooting and
the general does all the work.
Yeah, he does all the work. You know, I'll just join the army and just enjoy my time in the army. I don't know what to tell. People don't expect to actually do something.
Yeah. Brother Purgos, how about you? Any thoughts about this teaching on the armor and what we need so that we can stand? I like that. That's one of my favorite places where Paul says withstand and then stand. What say you?
I love how he showed it as an active process and how its effectiveness is directly proportional to the effort that you put into it, and that at any misstep you could hurt yourself, and how the head, being the most critical part of the mind, could very easily take you out of the fight.
Yeah, amen. Go back to that part you said about what did you just say? It caught my attention, and now I can't rephrase it. Can you rephrase what you just said, and I'll catch it?
I said how that you have to put on the armor. The armor is as effective as you put your effort into it.
Right there.
And that
the effort. Explain that. Talk about that. The effort you put into it. What does that mean, brother?
Well, if you only know 3 scripture verses, the sword of the Spirit isn't going to be that useful. If you're only walking in some truth, you're probably going to trip quite a bit. And if you don't have truth, you can't be righteous, because righteous would be according to the truth.
Yeah.
So, knowledge could literally increase your armor.
Yeah, I think you're onto something here. How about this? Ready? You go out to fight a battle. No, you don't even go out to fight a battle. You're just living your life. You've got this sword of the Spirit, right? And you don't even use it. you're not focused on it. You focus on your issues, you focus on the enemy, you focus on everything else, but you don't focus on the armor and the gifts that God's given us to do the job. That's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can we as brothers and sisters, how can we keep actively using this armor? What should we do?
Well, the more you share the gospel with people, with so many heresies around, you will be forced to keep your sword active and sharp.
Amen. Amen. How about, that's an awesome one. How about, and Brother Kuo, see if you can think of another one, but how about, we studied it yesterday in the Philippians 3, verse by verse, your conversations in heaven, your citizenship is in heaven. What if we're keeping our mind and our thoughts and our lives set on the kingdom of God, not the ways of the world, not our own flesh, not the culture around us? Basically, keeping our mind, seeking the kingdom first, as Christ said in Matthew 6:33, and keeping our mind set on eternal things, won't that keep us in, we always say, in the game? Won't that keep us in the battle, in the war, in the game? But if we get our mind on earthly things or things from the past or carnal things, what's going to happen? We're probably going to lay our armor down, not even use it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
That does.
Can you think of another one, Brother Cool?
I think if we carry, because when you're in the army and you have a weapon,
because we are soldiers, right?
Exactly, yeah. If you carry too much baggage of, let's say, like sin or things of the world that you're holding on to,
or the past,
exactly, it kind of blocks you from taking that weapon out, using that weapon efficiently or properly when you have all of this stuff hanging on you or all of this extra weight.
Yeah, good
so
point.
So we got to crucify that in order to free us up a little bit, to actually use the weapon properly and, you know, with full force. That
to not be encumbered.
Exactly.
To not be encumbered by our past, by sin. Could this be why our master said, no one, Luke 9:62, no one's fit for the kingdom of God looking backwards? Can I bring up an important point? Hey, Brother Zello says you did this. I have a question.
Yeah.
You ready? Did you notice all of this armor, not all of it, but most of it, did you notice some aspect about it? Where is it focusing us?
The focus is upwards and onwards. The entire focus of the armor is that the more we focus on God and in the kingdom and on the gospel, the more it protects us from sin and from darkness around us.
Amen. You said the word I was looking for. Onward. Did you notice most of this armor is not for protection behind you?
No.
So we don't turn and retreat because we're pretty exposed. We put on the armor of God, and James says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Paul says, withstand and then stand. So we have to stand and face all the things of the world. We have to face the fiery darts of the devil, and we put on our armor and we are pushing forward. We're pressing into the kingdom of God. If we turn around and we're weak and we turn our backside, we're pretty exposed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Notice we also don't get an armor bearer.
I'm sorry?
You notice we don't get an armor bearer.
No. That would be the Holy Spirit.
No, we don't get somebody walking beside us to carry all this for us.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We're not protected.
Yeah, that would be the Holy Spirit. I want to share another verse. 2 Corinthians 6:7. Ready? This is Brother Paul still. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left. So here's another part of our armor. It's not in Ephesians 6, but righteousness. Brother Purgos, how do you think us living in righteousness? First of all, Christ is our perfect righteousness that we need for salvation. So that should give us, ready? The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of God because of Christ, not because of us. We can come boldly. So if we get armor and we can come boldly because of Christ and we're supposed to put on righteousness, how does that help us in our journey through this battle as soldiers? Putting on righteousness on the left, on the right. What do you think that means, Brother Purgos?
Left and right, both sides of the body, and we're supposed to therefore put on Christ and his righteousness.
Amen.
So if we're getting accusatory thoughts, you can basically say, no, that's under the blood of Christ. That's gone.
Yeah.
He's my perfect righteousness. Amen. As long as you're not in anything willfully.
Amen. That's facing forward like we just talked about, right? And that's pressing into the kingdom, not turning to the left or the right or going backwards, but facing the kingdom saying, oh no, that's in my past, accuser of the brethren. Get behind me, Satan. I'm going to get behind God's word. I'm going to resist you, and I'm pressing forward. And when you press forward with righteousness on your left and your right, and you have the full armor of God, I think you stand a lot better chance surviving than if you're weak, you're retreating, you're looking backwards, you're not walking in righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
What do you think, Brother Cool, of that?
Noticed,
oh, go ahead.
You guys also noticed how pretty much every single piece of the armor of God is tied back to the Word of God somehow.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a lot of these, it's so bizarre. A lot of these, this Pentecost Lenny R movement is talking about fighting a spiritual war and spiritual darkness, and they use all kinds of unbiblical means. Like, they'll use music, they'll use worship services, they'll use supposed prayer, they'll use speaking. They'll use a whole bunch of means, but they do not use the one thing that the armor of God tells us to use in every aspect, which is the Word of God.
Yeah, they don't even believe in righteousness and doctrine and holiness. They don't even believe in that. They mock you when you bring that up. And that Satan has convinced them that they can use all of these false means to win the kingdom or make the kingdom, and that's exactly his job. He's deceived them into that because they're not using what the Father says we need and what we must use.
Amen.
Any thoughts on that, Brother Kuo, what we just talked about, putting on righteousness?
Yeah.
How do we do that outside of the righteousness of Christ? How do we put on righteousness?
We obey his commandments.
Walk in his ways.
Yeah, we walk in the light as he is in the light.
Yep.
And I put a note down when you were talking about righteousness, I thought of it kind of as like, because it's a breastplate, it's like a security blanket almost. So the verse that came to mind for me was Proverbs 3, 21 to 24. And it says, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
Yeah.
So I walking in righteousness, I have another note here. Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. So I think of righteousness as, it's almost security. Like, you read the commandments, you obey the commandments, you know that's the word of God, you know that's what you're supposed to, it's like a security, but you know you'll get through it if you follow the commandments. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like righteousness of God and keeping his ways is like an umbrella.
Yeah.
And Christ gives us that perfect umbrella, and as long as we're under it and we're operating in the gifts and using the armor under it, and when you stay under an umbrella and you're in a rainstorm, what happens? You stay dry. What happens if you step out from under the umbrella? You get soaked wet. So you step out of righteousness, and you end up, what's the opposite of righteousness? Unrighteousness would be sin, disobedience. So the Father knows what's good for us, and so he's going to ask us to keep that for our own good. I have another scripture verse. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. What do you think of that, Brother Purgos? Putting on the armor of light. Let's talk about that.
If you're in the light, you're in the truth. I think of Psalm 119 about this light being about his word being a light to our path.
Amen. Amen. So the light is Christ. Like you said, the light is truth. And if we're walking in it, we get all the benefits of it, which is strength and its armor and all these things, the favor of God, the grace of God. Let's talk about that. When you're walking in the light and in righteousness, you get grace of God. He gives you the power to keep living it out. If we turn our backs and we live in willful sin, we're no longer looking in the light. We're no longer seeking righteousness. We've actually laid our armor down. Because how can we say we have our armor on if we live in willful sin? Can anybody explain that to me? How can you have truth and helmet of salvation, all these things, if you're not fleeing from all sin? Does that make sense, Brother Zealous?
Yeah. No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all.
You have to be in the light. You have to be in the light, because if you're fighting darkness, the only way you can do it is with light.
Amen. Amen. When I think of that armor of light, ready? Sometimes in van life, we'll be in parked somewhere and it's pitch dark, and I hear a noise or something. I go outside and I turn my flashlight on, and I got a really powerful flashlight. And guess what my flashlight does? It pierces the darkness. And that light goes forth and gives me the ability to see and expose what might be out there. Isn't that what the truth and the Word of God and the Spirit of God does for us? If we don't use it, we kind of stumble around in the dark, like the world and churchianity. But we click the light of the Lord on, and by discernment and by His Word, we can see clear, can't we?
Amen.
Yeah. Anybody got any other scriptures to share regarding this? I've got a couple more, but I don't want to hog the stage here. Any other thoughts or scriptures or anything about the armor of God?
Yeah, I got one. Maybe let's toss this in there. Isaiah mentions having zeal as a cloak.
I love that.
And that's like, it's not part of the Ephesians armor, but I think it's still a part of the armor of God. Like a cloak would be something that you would toss over top of everything else. Like let's say you're in a rainstorm or a thunderstorm or something like that. You just toss your cloak or wrap your cloak about you, and it kind of shields you from the elements of the weather. And I think zeal does that. It kind of keeps us from getting drenched and soggy and wet and tired and miserable. It keeps us moving as well, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I love that, a cloak. It reminds me where Jesus said the Pharisees would have no cloak for their sin. So it's like an outer covering. And from what I read in history, they would use that as like a sleeping bag. They'd lay on the ground and cover themselves with it. And I love that verse I think you read that in that teaching, didn't you?
I read it, but I didn't really expound on the zeal as a cloak part.
Yeah. Yeah, so how do we put that on?
Be zealous and repent.
Yeah, be zealous, repent. We said it, walk in righteousness, right?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
If you could, like, quantify zeal, I guess this is a question. How would you explain zeal to someone? Because that's kind of like, you hear zeal and you're like, okay, yeah, I want to be zealous. But, like, how do I...
Let's see, zealous? I think we should let Brother Zealous explain that one, because zealous means zeal.
I would probably explain it as being very passionate and earnest.
Yeah.
You're not lukewarm, you don't lose your first love, you're very passionate, you're very earnest, you give it your all, you don't hold back. There ain't no half-heartedness, you're all out.
Yeah.
That's zeal.
Yeah, excitement, earnest, zeal, I think of diligent, all of those things, yeah, would go with being having zeal. Being zealous for something. Yeah. I have a concept. I don't want to step over. Brother Purgos, you got any other thoughts on stuff we're talking
about? Just throw in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before that battle even comes to you, the Lord has to let that battle actually come to you. I was thinking of Psalm 5:12. For surely you, O Lord, bless the righteous. You surround them with the shield of your favor. The Lord may not even have you enter into a certain battle. So that might be before the armor's even needed.
Yeah. Amen. Good point. Good point. So I guess I wanted to talk about, so we got this armor. We know we got to use it. I like what Brother Kuo said. It's like at the end of the day, you're tired, you're crashing bed, and it's like you don't exactly have your armor on now. You kind of feel safe. And then you get up in the morning, if you're not careful, you go out and you start your day and you haven't put your armor on. So what have you men found that helps you start your day to put your armor on? You know about the armor. I mean, I know you're all not living in willful sin over and over. You're not of the world. What helps you every day to put your armor on? I'll go first, if it'll help. I'll go first. To me, I'm always telling people to preach the gospel to themselves every day. And I do that right when I wake up. And it sounds so silly to people, but when they go, what do you mean by that? People tell me that. They go, what do you mean? I go, I'm not telling you to practice in the mirror. What I'm telling you is get up and set your mind like flint to serve the kingdom of God and seek it. I think if you don't wake up, and your first few thoughts, I get it. When we all roll out of bed, we're kind of foggy, you know, and you're foggy and you just come into your consciousness. By the way, do you realize something? Every day we kind of die and every day we kind of resurrect, don't we? You ever thought about that?
Okay. Yeah, I guess sleep would be an archetype.
Sleeping is death, and then we wake up and we're resurrected and we got to come out of our slumber. And so when I wake up, I like shake the cobwebs off and like, okay, I'm up. And one of the first things I like to think about is I have another day given to me by the Father. I want to seek the kingdom. So I want that to be my first thoughts. So my first thoughts are serving the Lord, not coffee, not, hey, I'm going to go out and make money today, or I'm going to go out and I'm going to get new gospel cards, which obviously that's for the kingdom. But I want him on my thoughts. And then I remind myself of the gospel, that Christ came into the world to shed his blood for my sin. That's just an everyday thing. And that I had to repent to be spared from his wrath. And he gave me new life by his Spirit. I'm a new creation now. And I desire to walk in holiness and obedience with this day I have before me. This day. Not next year. Not next week. This day. I get up and I'm going to walk in holiness and obedience. And I'm going to endure this one day. I just preached the gospel to myself. That just set my mind on an even plane. And then there's one more thing I do every day. I usually, like, I'll sleep like in a t-shirt, okay? I get up, I put my tunic on. It's one of the first things in van life I do, because somebody knocks on the door, I got to go outside, I got to be dressed right away. When you're in your house, if you're just with your wife or something, you could let your guard down. But I put my tunic on. And because I learned about the tunic as the blood covering, or the shed blood and a covering, the gospel and serving God, and I put my rag on. This is a rag. And I realized that I'm not that far from the old man I was, if I'm not careful. And that it humbles me. And then with that, I think of the armor going forth with the word of God and the helmet of salvation and all the everything we need. So that's how I do it. Brother Cool, you look like something's busting out on you. How do you do it?
Well, I was just going to add to that archetype of like dying, like in sleep, rising again kind of a thing. You know, the sun, it sets. When it's setting, it turns like blood red almost.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, yeah.
The death of Christ, he goes into the ground, burial. Right, yeah. We die with Christ.
Yep.
I think that's kind of cool.
But what works for you to get you?
So what works for me is I wake up, first thought every day is I say a prayer, and I just ask the Lord that I do his will today, not my own, that, I pray for the brothers and sisters as well, a short prayer for them, and I basically just say, Lord, I want to serve you today, and I put my mind on serving the Lord right away, and then I jump right into listening to edification from brothers, or reading that while I'm eating breakfast, or whatever it might be.
Start your day.
Yeah, I just get soaked in it.
So you don't turn on the news and start watching TV.
No.
I know you don't watch any TV. Right. You see what I'm saying? The churchianity people in the world, they start their day with carnal sin, and then they wonder why the rest of their day goes downhill. You're starting it in prayer and things of God.
Yeah. And I found that if I don't do that, if you don't put God on your mind first thing in the day, it's like, I'm not married, but I assume if you wake up and you don't believe you're married.
Yeah.
Like, for the first thing in the day, and you just go about your day not really thinking about your marriage.
Right, right.
It's not going to go very well. So you have to put your in your mind that, okay, I'm going to be a husband today. I'm going to, you know, I have
reset every day.
Yeah, so you have to, like, reset every day. And,
yeah.
I found that really, that is a very important, it seems like a small thing, but it's, like, a super
Yeah,
important.
And you know what? I want to say that you said if you're married, when you single men, the onus is on you. You don't have a partner to, like, say things to you about God, right?
Right. Yeah.
We do. Brothers Ellis and I have godly wives, and, you know, if they see us in a going downhill or something, they can say something to us or encourage us. You single men, you really got to watch out, be on guard, because, yeah, everything's out to get you. It's out to get us, too, but it's out to get you, and you got to make sure the onus on you. And is that not part of your reasonable service? To just wake up and be ready, like you said, to be in prayer or be reading or set your mind on things above and make sure that you're ready to seek the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
exactly.
Yes, yep. Definitely when you're on your own, really, really important to do that. Good stuff. Yep. How about you, Brother Purgos? What would you say?
I just see it as another opportunity to do better on the day. I think of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us for, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Figure out what I can do better today than I did yesterday. And I normally like to listen to one of the Gospels while I'm going about starting my day.
Nice. So setting yourself forward and setting yourself towards the kingdom of God and probably not looking back or thinking about the woes of the day and all that. That's not a good way to start your day. But start your day, as I said and Brother Kuo said and you're saying, by being in the Word, around the Word, or prayer, and focusing forward. And it's a good way to jumpstart your day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't let up, though, do you?
You can't.
You can't say, okay, I did my 10-minute devotional. Now I'll go back in the world, or I'll go into my own thoughts and I'll go into carnal ways. No. You got to keep that, as they say, get that snowball rolling. Keep it going, and it gets better and better. Brother Zelos, how about you? What is your pattern to help you keep walking in the armor to start your day? What say you?
This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him.
I love that.
That's one of my favorite verses. It's just when you wake up in the morning, it's like, Lord, thank you for another day. Maybe I messed up yesterday. I repented. I'm sorry. I want to do better. You didn't destroy me. Your mercies are still here. It's a brand new day, a brand new start. I get to bear fruit for you today. What can I do? And you just toss yourself right into the Word, right into praise, right into... I think if you start off your day with praising God, it starts it off on a lot better note, because you're actually thankful. And thankfulness, it's kind of like that hope of salvation that guards you, the helmet of salvation, which is the hope and the thankfulness that guards your mind. If you start that out, then the rest of your armor, like, the first thing you'd start is at your head, obviously, right? You put on your helmet and your breastplate and everything else, right? It's kind of like you put on this helmet first, the hope and the thankfulness. But, you know, God just gave you a new day. He didn't destroy you. His mercies are still here. You still have breath. You can still bear fruit. You can overcome this. You just got to keep striving.
Yeah.
I think just starting it on that note helps me.
You and I think a lot alike, because you took two of my thoughts, and that's okay. You're my brother. I'll share them with you. I was going to read where his mercies are new every morning. I love that. And then I was going to go into thankfulness. And when I talked about, I preached the gospel to myself, that's my way of being thankful, because I realized that God didn't consume me when I was a wicked, worldly man. And guess what? He didn't consume me, as I even still sinned at times and still can sin today, not willfully, hopefully. Obviously, I shouldn't. He doesn't destroy us. And so that's great thankfulness. And then I go forth to serve him as a soldier, putting on the armor, putting on the things that we need to do. So those are all patterns that every man and woman has to find. And God will give you those to strengthen you so that you can put on that armor and you can walk and you can be prepared for the day. And guess what? Do it one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow, next week, next year. Do it today, and then tomorrow, get up and do it again. And then don't worry about the next day, and then tomorrow, the next day, you're going to get up and do it again. Before you know it, it's a lifetime. And that's how we have to live our life. People get caught up too much looking down the road, too much looking back. Live. Didn't our Savior teach us to live in the day?
Yeah.
He did. And I got one more verse left. I want to read something. I think you guys will enjoy this, and sisters. 1 Samuel 17:39-41. Check this out. What nuggets we can get from this. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Did you check this out? What if you read that, Saul said, you got to have armor. Give him this armor. And he probably had like grown men armor, I'm assuming. And these scriptures tell us that David was like, I think the word says, as a ruddy little teenager, probably slight, weighed maybe 120 pounds. I don't know. I'm guessing at that. But I like what it says there. It says he put them not because he put them not on because he did not prove them. That word prove, just like it means in 1 Thess 5, prove all things. He didn't test them. Brothers, sisters, I have a question. If we're going to be successful with the armor of God, can we wait until we're in the midst of a battle and rush and go get it out of the closet and blow the dust off of it and put it on? Or do we have to walk in them every day and prove them? What say you? Do we have to prove them out every day?
Yeah, hey, that's an awesome scripture. That's good. Prove all things. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to prove that. I know the armor of God is good, but guess what? We have to prove whether we know how to use it. You got a sword of the Spirit, Hebrews 4:12, the sword of the Lord, I call it. But guess what? Like Brother Purgo said, if you don't know much scripture, and if you're not studying, and you're not consuming it, and you're not living in it, and you're not obeying it, and you're not clinging to it, how powerful are you going to be when you go to draw that sword out? I don't think you're going to be very powerful at all. So prove it out, men and sisters. Walk in it, and I think we'll go far. I know we'll go far. Yeah. We'll go far in the Lord. Anything else about the armor of God discussion?
I just toss this in here. Part of proving it is this. I once heard this this saying, test it. It's not from the Bible, but I think it has a lot of truth to it. If you want to know how you would withstand persecution, look at how you deal with temptation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because you prove your armor by overcoming yourself first. And then you can overcome the other trials that the enemy can do.
Yeah, because you know why? Guess who is your worst enemy sometimes?
Flesh.
Ourselves. We just offer it up to the Satan. Hey, my past, what I used to have, oh, what still moves me. We just offer it up, and Satan goes, oh, yeah, let's focus on that. You get that armor out and you get behind the word of God and he has to flee and you walk in the light. Guess what? Satan can't stand in the light. He has to flee when you stand in the light. But if you linger in the darkness of your past and your flesh and the world, oh, Satan's right with you going, oh yeah, let's stay right here. I'm with you. You walk in the light, he can't follow. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff, brothers. Amen. Anybody got anything else? Or we'll end it right there on this discussion on the armor of God. We'll put this up in the Ecclesia gathering area. Anything else?
I would just throw in just like an end thing. Don't spend all your time sharpening the sword. You actually have to know how to use it too. So be sure to sharpen it, but also go out there and use it, because you won't get better at using it unless you're, you know, practicing.
Yeah, and you got to bring it with you too.
Exactly.
You got to bring it with you. So if you were like a sniper with a rifle and you practice, and then you go out and they say, where's your rifle? And you go, I left it at home. you're not really much good with it. So you got to be good with it and make sure you bring it with you, meaning if you don't have the scriptures with you, hide it in your heart, hide it in your memory banks, be ready to use it at when you need it for the glory of God.
Amen. That's a good point, Brother Akua.
Amen.
Don't sit and study scripture all and lock yourself in a hermitage or monastery. You got to go out into the world with it. That's the purpose of having it.
Amen. Amen. Let your light shine. Let your good works be seen before men that may glorify your Father in heaven. We'll leave it right there. Thanks, brothers. Good edification going out to help others all over the globe. Thank you, brothers.
Amen.